Good to be back here once again, and I trust that as we look into the subject for the morning, that God will encourage us, that God will bless. I was reminded that this is Father's Day, therefore it would be good to have a message for the fathers. May I say that just because I'm talking to the fathers doesn't excuse the rest of you. We need to all listen to what God has to say to us. But we want to especially zero in on fathers this morning. And I trust that as we look not only into God's Word, but some of the other factors that we find in society today, that God will challenge us, each one, as to the bombardment of Satan upon the family of which the father is the head. Turn with me, please, first of all, to Matthew chapter 15 and verse 4. Matthew 15 and verse 4. This is found a number of times in Scripture, this basically the same thing. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. Turn with me also to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Again, basically the same thing. But this is in with all the ten, what we consider as the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You know, it's interesting, as you look at the Ten Commandments, this is basically the center command. And Satan is doing all he can to destroy not only the family, but the headship of the family, the father. One more scripture. Genesis chapter 2. Let's begin reading in verse 22. Genesis 2, verse 22. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman, and he brought her to the man. Often wondered just what Adam's reaction was at that moment. Is this beautiful woman coming? And he is been looking at this, and here he is. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Several things we want to notice here. First of all, it's the man that is called upon to leave his father and mother. Does that mean the woman doesn't as well? I think it includes that. But the father is the head of the home, and I think he set this out in this whole verse, in this whole passage, the importance of the father in the home. Interesting, too. Adam says, a man shall leave his father and mother. Adam didn't have a father or mother. He is looking at that which is going to come, and setting up a special unit, the family. As I mentioned earlier, the family is being bombarded from every point today. It began back in Genesis chapter 3 and is going on right in through today. Our society today is trying to break down the family unit. And again, as we look at this and other passages, we find that God has placed the man as the head of the home. That doesn't mean he's the dictator. It means that he is the one responsible to take the lead in the home. Tells us he's to be honored. He is to be greatly regarded. It's very difficult as you look in some of society today to think of children honoring and highly regarding their fathers when there's so much going on in the family that's destroying the family. We think of some of the things that happen in the family that destroys that family. Fathers who do not properly love their wives and their children, they're abusing them verbally and physically and other ways. This is not somebody that children can turn around and honor. How can they honor a man that doesn't live a life that is honorable? And that is necessary for them to understand. Recently, several years ago, I heard of another factor that has come in that I think destroys the family. We were visiting up in a serviceman's work in the Philippines for the weekend. I had the ministry there, and the director of the servicemen said to me, you know, Kim, one of the big problems that we face on the base that's destroying families is what they call the key club. I said, well, that's just here. I didn't know. He says, this is something that's prevalent even all through the United States. Let me explain where the key club is. They have a party. When they come into that party, there's a basket, and they drop their house key in the basket. As the men leave, they pick up a house key. The woman to whom that house key belongs, he goes home with her. That's destroying the family. That's adultery. And it's very common in our society today. How can children honor that kind of a man? We need to understand that that's not what is good for Christians. Fathers, too, who lie and cheat. Sometimes we may think we're getting away with it. Our children don't know, but our children know more than we do. We need to be very careful about lying and cheating. And sometimes we do it kind of on the sly, and I think we're all guilty. Don't break the speed limit, and then we travel way over the speed limit. You think the children don't see that? They think the children don't understand that? You are going against that which you yourself have said. May I say, too, that the father should take the lead in the proper headship of the family? One of the things that needs to be done is the father should take the lead in the what we call the family devotion, the reading of the Word of God. And you know, you cannot take a lead in something that you yourself are not doing. So it's important for us to have a time set aside for personal reading of the Word of God and prayer. And then take a time when the family gathers. And I find in so many homes today, this is a neglected thing. Rarely do the family get together and read the Word of God together and pray. That's necessary in order for the spiritual well-being of the family. When is it to have it? Well, used to be a lot of times we had it early in the morning at breakfast. But I find that too often today, father's getting ready to rush off to work, children are getting ready to go to school. That's not an appropriate time. And set a time, though, and keep it. You'll never find time. You have to make a time for the family devotions. And then, too, the father should take the lead in the disciplining of the children. Does this mean he's going to do all the disciplining? No. Turn with me, please, to a few verses concerning this in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 12. Proverbs 3, verse 12. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects or chastens. Just as a father, the son whom he delights. Now, many times I've heard this saying by fathers and mothers, don't discipline the child. We really love him because we don't discipline him. My feeling is you don't love him. If you're not disciplining your child, you're not training him in a proper way, you don't really love that child. May I say, too, that when you discipline a child, it should be done not in anger, but in love. The Lord loves us. That's why he chastens us. That's why he punishes us as Christians. And so it is with the Father. If you are angry, hold back on the discipline until the anger is gone and you discipline them in love. Well, many times we hear fathers say to their children as they're disciplining them, this hurts me more than it does you. I remember when I was a boy, my dad saying that, and I thought, used to think to myself, well, I don't think so. It's hurting me. As I grew older, I realized how much the truth he was saying. And that discipline, it should be consistent. It should be the same every time. And may I say that some children are different. Some have to have a different type of discipline than others. We had four children, and I realized that in each one of them, the discipline would be different. The oldest, our son, the greatest discipline we could have for him is take his books away. He was our avid reader. And if he couldn't have his books, that was a real hardship for him. And so we disciplined him that. We know of some families, well, you didn't do that. No television for so many hours. And there's difference in each one. But there has to be the discipline and consistent discipline of them all. And it varies. Then two fathers should take the lead in teaching and instructing the children. Proverbs again, verse chapter 1 and verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. The father takes the lead in this instructing, teaching. Often we hear parents say, well, I send my kids to school, they get the teaching there. Should begin at home. And should begin when they're small. Before they ever think of school, that's when the instruction, that's when the teaching comes. Teaching them the right and the wrong. Teaching them other things that they know. We find even today that children are being taught things earlier, and I think we need to realize in our own homes, fathers, that's where we begin. And you should take the lead in that teaching. First of all, the things of the Lord. What is the Lord's desire for your heart? And the young children have to begin thinking of that so that that becomes a mindset through their life. Beginning it young, as a young person, that carries through their life. And so it's not too early to start, even when a child is young. Teaching them what they should and should not listen to in a matter of music. It frightens me when I think of some of the music that our young people, our boys and girls, are listening to. Our fathers, do you know what they're listening to? Several years ago, teenage boy said to me, he said, Mr. Brooks, what did you listen to when you were my age? And I see some of you here, everybody would be like me. We didn't have tape recorders. We didn't have CDs. We didn't have iPods. I didn't listen to anything, I told him. I said, we didn't even have a radio. Not that we were against it. We just couldn't afford it. We didn't have a radio. When we did have a radio, we had four stations that we could listen to. And in a foreign country like the Philippines, most of it was in the dialect, and we weren't interested. But some of the stuff that the kids are listening to do today is absolute trash. Not just the beat. I'm talking about the words. I get World Magazine, and time after time, they bring out some of the factors there, some of the words that are in these songs. And I'm astounded at some of the words that they have and how some of our kids are listening to that. That's going in their mind As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a young person thinks, that's what he's going to become. That same young fellow that asked me what I think was listening to, I told him, I know what kind of a fellow you're going to be by what you're listening to. That sets a pace. And today, I think Satan is bombarding us very strongly in what they listen to. And fathers, we need to take the lead. What are you listening to? We want to know. Along with that, I think we need to teach them what they should watch on TV, what they should watch in their computers. It's amazing what the computer has today. Let me just read you something. London School of Economics found that 9 out of 10 children between the ages of 8 and 16 had viewed internet pornography. 9 out of 10 had viewed internet pornography. That's a tremendous number. And I think, fathers, we need to know what our children are watching on the internet. Most of those cases they found were unintentional. Let me tell you that what they brought out, 1 8-year-old girl searching for the story of Cinderella found an image-laden pornographic adaptation of that when she came on the internet looking for Cinderella. We need to have our children trained so that when that comes on, they know right away, hit the delete button, put it off. Take it out. And that comes training, and that training, fathers, we are responsible for that. May I say, even our grandfather, as grandfathers. One of the other things that come in, I found out on this, there's a website called Bible Truth, put out by a young Christian man in Gainesville, Florida. And on it, there's a list of all the assemblies, not only in the United States, but you can bring up the assemblies in England and Scotland and Ireland, different countries. Where the correspondent of our assembly that we attend in Florida, Ed Scott, said he got a phone call from a man in England and said, have you pulled up your website on Hiawatha recently? He said, no, I haven't. He says, it's pornographic. He put it up and it was right. Satan had somehow had somebody in put in there. Somebody was looking for the chapel, the list of times of the meetings, and the little map of the place. And instead he got pornographic. Ed Scott had it taken off in a hurry, but I think of the insidiousness of Satan bringing in these things. You're looking for something legitimate, and there is this pornography. I think we need to understand that we've got modern conveniences, and a lot of it brings in a lot of other things that can devastate the young people. And our young people need to understand this. This is wrong. Put it off. One of the other things that has come in, and I was reading in the same magazine, the DVDs, which bring out a whole movie on a disc like a CD. Some of these are what they call unrated. Now, when you go to the movies in any of the theaters, they're rated. And we can tell our children anything R-rated, that's taboo, you do not enter that. But they don't rate those in the DVDs. Now, I understand some of that is good. Talking to a family recently, and they said, you know, we like Lord of the Rings. And the DVD brings in things that were not in the movie. Makes it more interesting and more understandable. But the magazine says, along with that, you can buy DVDs where if it's going to be shown in a theater, there are parts of it that are cut out. It's put back in the DVDs, all the trash, the swearing and the violence and the sex is all brought back in. You know, we need to watch what our children are watching. If that comes into the home, that's going to pollute the mind of your young people, and we need to watch that very carefully. Somebody said that there are 4.2 million pornographic websites on the internet. And that's accounting for about 12% of all the internet is pornography. As I was going over this, I was thinking, boy, Satan really is doing his best to pollute the minds of people today. That same magazine was telling how many those of who are pastors watching pornography and getting hooked on that. You know, it's insidious as we think of what comes in there, and the thing that we as fathers have to stand and take a stand against so that we don't allow those things to come into our home and to encourage us to put it out. This family that I was talking to, they said to us, you know, our kids aren't interested in that stuff. They have no interest whatsoever. Where did they learn it? When they were small. As they grew up, they realized there are certain things that's just not for the family. And we don't want it. They're not interested. And I think, fathers, we need to encourage our children to go through that. One of the other things that I think we as fathers need to be very careful of, and that's the proper dress. I see young people going to school that, boy, they're the sloppiest that I've ever seen. And you know, if they're going sloppy like that, that's what their attitude is going to be. Let me give you an example. As I mentioned earlier, I taught for 3 years at Hamden DeBose Academy and I taught Bible. We had a uniform, which was a t-shirt with a logo of the school on it. And the boys wore khaki or dark trousers, shoes, no flip-flops. And the girls, well, either shorts or slacks or the same color skirt. But occasionally they had what they called a casual day. And the kids could come dressed in their other clothes. It was according to the code of the school. There were certain things they couldn't wear, but they came in a casual dress. I found when they came that way, their whole attitude that day was casual. And so I say, when kids dress casually, that's what they're going to act like. And we see this coming into our schools today, the casualness and the disrespect that they have. We had a 6-year-old girl down in Florida just recently that they showed a video of her punching the teacher. When the teacher took her in there, the principal, she did the same thing. The principal had stuff on the wall. She was pulling it off the wall. And then the parents got upset when the police came in and had to handcuff her to stop her. Parents say, why? I think we need to realize that some of this has been the lack of teaching in the home. That young girl never heard of the fact that you respect those in authority. And a lot today are not being taught respect. When they meet somebody, well, daddy calls them by this, we call them by that too. They use the first name. Instead of calling them Mr. or Mrs. or Aunt or Uncle, they use the first name, not showing proper respect for those who are older. And I think that starts in the home. The father needs to realize that starts early. And when they realize that the children are not showing respect, stop them. Say to them, look, you're talking to your mother, you're talking to your father, you show respect. And I think that needs to be taught in the home, where it will be learned properly. Some of the clothes that people wear today, particularly young people. I was reading recently, the styles of young girls, the more skin, the better. It's terrible. It's only asking for trouble. And fathers, we need to be careful what our young people are wearing. What is the term to one more portion? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. The word says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. It is interesting that it speaks to fathers here, not to mothers. I think the reason for this, fathers are more prone to this than mothers. The word there to provoke is to rouse to anger. How do they do that? And I believe that fathers are mentioned, as I mentioned, because of their tendency toward this. The thought here is not to be continually nagging and pestering a child. We get so that we just nag, we pester them on certain things that really don't really count. And that causes anger. It causes them to rebel against the authority. And then, too, I think we need to be careful that we don't have unjust demands on our children. Don't demand that which really is unjust for them or unreasonable. Then I think, too, the unremitting criticism. There are parents that criticize their children and never a word of praise. I've heard children say, you know, he's never praised me. Daddy never said that he loved me. I think that's wrong. I think as fathers, we need to tell our children we love them. I think as fathers, we need to, when they're doing good, praise them for it. They come home with a good grade, give them some praise. Maybe even give them some kind of an award for it. We need that, and they need that. It's good. But we also need to bring them up in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. Spiritual well-being for the children. You have a family where when their kids were small, yeah, the kids all came to Sunday school. But when they got to a certain age, father and mother said, well, you're old enough now to make your decision. If you don't want to go to Sunday school, you don't have to. And unfortunately, when those children got older, they went the wayward way. And I think we need to realize we need to be training them in the things of the Lord. And that training begins when they're young and continues on even when they are teenagers. We need to do that. And the discipline of them to bring them about to the right place, to teach them respect for someone else, not only for people, but for property. Recently in Florida, there was a Christian school down there, and the graduating class, I think it was only about 15 young people, the night before graduation went into the school. I don't know how they got in, but somehow broke into the school and began spray painting all over the place and doing all sorts of things like that. Next day, the principal says, all right, there's no graduation. You'll get your diploma, but there will be no walking down the aisle. You disobeyed. You did that which was wrong. This is it. Some of the parents were very angry. Oh, that was just a prank. And I think we have to understand that's not just a prank, that is wrong, and we need to teach our children that it's wrong. And discipline them because of it, not take their side in it. There were other parents that said, yeah, they got their just desserts. They did that. They don't deserve to walk and get their diplomas in a formal way. The respect for property. Came into class one day there at school. We had a television in the classroom. It was on. I said, who turned this on? And the young fellow said, I did. I said, who gave you permission? He said, nobody. I said, turn it off. Don't do that until you get permission. This is disrespect, not only for the people, but for property. And if they're not taught at an early age, it's going to get worse all the time. These are some of the things that we need to learn as fathers. And I trust as fathers today, and some of us are grandfathers, we need to realize that even as grandfathers, we have our grandkids, and we should seek to help them to go the right way, even as grandparents. Encourage our children to do the right thing, and encourage them to encourage their children. Fathers, we need to do that. I want to read a poem in closing. Poem that I got, Good Fathers, by Walter Eisenhower. We need good fathers in our homes whose hearts are full of grace, who by their love and earnest prayers make home a pleasant place, who set examples that are clean for all their folks to see, and long to be the noble man that God would have them be. We need good fathers in the church to occupy the pews and help their fellow members seek the things they ought to choose, whose lives are such from day to day, wherever they may go, that others looking on may say, the Lord they surely know. We need good fathers o'er the land who live and tell the truth and have at heart along life's way the welfare of our youth, who want to keep our country free on ocean and on sod, and help their fellows on their way to heaven and to God. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we have thought of fathers, we realize the awesome responsibility that we as fathers have, the responsibility that you have given to us for the care of our children, teaching them, encouraging them, taking them the right direction. Father, we pray that each father here may be faithful in doing that. Those of us who are grandfathers, maybe we be faithful in continuing to carry on that which you've given to us. We realize that children are given to us as a gift from you, for us to train, for us to encourage, and that someday they will be on their own. Pray that we may be faithful in our responsibilities toward them. Be with us now, Father, as we separate. We pray that you'll give us a time together today with fathers, a time of enjoyment and blessing. We ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.